Sitting in a pool of bright light on the otherwise darkened stage, he was aware of the crowd but couldn't actually see them. This was just the way he liked it. The fidgeting subsided, and an expectant silence ensued. The guitarist took a deep breath and focused. Then suddenly he launched himself into the fortissimo opening with such bravura and showmanship that the helpless audience were immediately won over without a fight. They watched, spellbound, as the semiquavers were fired with meticulous precision. The player was pleased. Things didn't always run quite as planned, but on this occasion he was having a good night. His pacing was flawless, and he gauged his crescendo so perfectly that he even impressed himself. As he delivered the final tempestuous descending passage, the rapturous applause began even before the last chord had stopped. He looked up with one of his trademark beaming smiles and stood to receive his well-deserved acclaim, before giving a deep, appreciative bow. With another smile, he turned and left the spotlight, heading back into the wings. After a moment, the applause faded as the loudspeaker announced, "Ladies and gentlemen, there will now be a 15-minute interval. 15 minutes, please. Thank you." The stunned audience began to shuffle in the direction of the various bars and kiosks out in the foyer. The date for the concert had been chosen with care. The Purcell Room shared its stage door with the Queen Elizabeth Hall, but there was no concert in the QEH tonight. The skeleton staff assigned to cover the Purcell Room gig had disappeared once the lighting check was finished and wouldn't be needed again until after the performance was over, so there was no one around. Just as he had intended. 14 minutes. As the guitarist returned to his dressing room, he carefully placed his E.B. Jones concert guitar back in its Davis case before reaching under the chaise longue and removing another, rather smaller case, which he had secretly placed there earlier. After checking that his dressing room door was locked, he unfastened the two metal clasps and eased open the lid. 13 minutes. He gave a slight smile as he reached into the case and withdrew the Model 625 Smith & Wesson. He hefted it for a moment, before also taking the silencer that had been lying alongside it and fitting it to the muzzle with practiced ease. He put on his long overcoat, which was well able to conceal the weapon in one of its numerous, voluminous pockets, then quietly unlocked the door. He knew there would be no one nearby, but he exercised caution all the same. 12 minutes. As he expected, the lobby area was clear, so he made a beeline for the doorway leading to the square spiral stairs down to the stage door. Taking a 90-degree turn to the right after every 8 steps, he quickly passed the floor where the QEH bar, which would normally be bustling with people, stood quiet and dark. He continued down, and a few moments later, reached the glass partition behind which the stage doorkeeper kept watch. But not tonight. There appeared to be no one on duty. 11 minutes. The guitarist tapped in the code on the keypad by the doorkeeper's office and entered, quickly moving over to the anteroom where the doorkeeper hung his coat and made his tea. During a very friendly chat earlier today, he had been most appreciative when the guitarist had offered to make him his tea, and now there he was, out cold, lying on the couch, just as he had been left, sleeping like a baby. The guitarist nudged him, but there was no response. He gave a little nod of satisfaction. The poor cove would be out for hours. Upstairs in the foyer, the crowd was positively buzzing with excitement about the quality of tonight's concert. Conversations were interrupted momentarily as the loudspeaker announced, "Ladies and gentlemen, tonight's performance will resume in 10 minutes. 10 minutes, please. Thank you."